I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Their sound has been described as a musical melting pot, a mix of retro-Cuban, electronic, Latin, funk, and hip-hop. It's every bit a reflection of the diversity that infuses their home base, Miami. They are the Latin Grammy-nominated Spam All-Stars, and they're with us today to talk a little bit about their music. Their fifth album, Electrodomesticos, was released in April. We might be able to talk them into performing a song or two. And they join us from member station WLRN in Miami. Spam All-Stars, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Hi.
First, DJ Le Spam, why don't you introduce us to the rest of the group, who you have around there with you?
Well, starting on my left, Mercedes Abal, our flute player. Next to her is Chad Bernstein on trombone. Next to him, we have Adam Zimmern, our guitar player. And next to Adam is Tomas Diaz, our percussionist and sometimes vocalist. And on the next to Tomas is A.J. Hill, our sax player.
Okay. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. So why Spam?
It's a long story. Basically, years ago, I used to go to a little 8-track recording place and just experiment. Every week, I would just bring a couple of very loose ideas. And somebody gave me a record that had a radio broadcast show with a bunch of commercials on it. One of the commercials was a Spam commercial. And so I did this sort of overlay of the Spam commercial, parts
of
it.
You mean Spam, the ham, the meat in a can,
the
Spam?
One that I'm not supposed to talk about, you know.
Oh, and, dear.
So anyway, I did this song, and it was just a stupid thing that I thought was funny. And so I would play it for my friends, and that was kind of, I started calling the music that I was recording and the little things I would experiment with. I started calling it Spam All-Stars after that. And
because, you know, there's the other, it has another meaning now, which is
exactly, which I didn't plan any
email.
Of that.
How do you feel about all that?
It's kind of one of those things where if you knew back when you started that it was going to go this far, you might have tried to come up with some other name for it. But basically, I didn't really expect that we'd go this far with this group. This was something that I started as a side to other musical projects that I was part of, and somehow it just kept going and going, and it way exceeded any expectations that I ever had for it, which was none. So basically,
very honest.
Yeah.
But what's the point? Is it to get everybody together? You're mainly performance band, right? Is it to get together and see what happens? Is it to,
well, the weekly to, recording thing that I was doing became a weekly gig, and the weekly gig was something that we moved from club to club, but basically in the beginning we'd have one sort of residency that we do here in Miami, a club that we play at every week. We would never rehearse. I would bring different just beginnings of ideas of grooves of songs, and we would take it from there every week. And I guess from doing it on a weekly basis, we kind of learned what was working and what wasn't, and what worked for a crowd in a nightclub and what didn't. And so over time, it would sort of evolve from there. And
you still never rehearse?
For the most part, no, we never have. I don't think we've ever had a band rehearsal. It's still been that way. We tend to play 3 or 4 nights a week. So, with the remaining 3 days, you want to let your ears stop ringing and think about other stuff. And so you can come back to your gigs fresh. And so that's kind of why we've never rehearsed to this day.
I understand the new release, Electrodomesticos, took 18 months.
More than that, it really took 3 years. I think, the first year was just basically taken up with promoting the last record. And then once we started, thinking now it's time to record something else, it was the same thing that I just mentioned, gigging 3 or 4 nights a week, whatever 2 or 3 days you have left with to deal with the other aspects of your life. If we can get one of those days into set aside for recording, mixing, doing overdubs, whatever, then that's great. But it's hard to make progress like that in a timely way. And my studio's in the home, so you know it becomes this thing where you there's that door you want to go through, so you go to work, but you get a block about it. You know, you want to do anything else but, you know. So that was
it's like laundry, right?
Well, it's like anything where it's deadlines. I've always had a problem uh-huh. with, I guess. So you know, it's
but
just
speaking of home, the latest album, Electrodomesticos. That means home appliances, right?
Right.
You spending a little too much time in the house there, man.
Well, yes. the you know, I think electrodomesticos also, you know, it's a word that you can look at it in any language almost and try to derive some sort of meaning from it, and you can get. Mm-hmm. You know, the meanings that you can get from it are all valid to kind of what we're doing. I think that it's a continuation on the theme of robots and machines and humans. Basically, we're in a place right now where, you know, we are completely slaves to our own devices in a sense. And so that's no different for me within this band in performing. I'm using samplers for the drum loops and the bass lines, and so I'm pretty much relying on a piece of electronics to execute our music. And so I think that, you know, that those are the kind of themes I think about when I choose the names.
Okay, can we talk you in a song?
Okay, I guess
what are you gonna play for us?
I will play one of the tunes from our last record, actually. This one's called El Lagarto, and I guess it was just inspired by our intro record today, which I'm not going to tell you what it is yet and spoil the surprise.
Well, that's mean, but go ahead. Peace is the way you want it to be? Or is that the whole point, that whatever happens when you're together is what happens, is what it's supposed to be?
Each arrangement that we come up with is more or less a roadmap, you know, and so from when we finish, you know, the recording and it's done, and then we have that as a reference point, we can go back and listen to it and say, okay, now we're going to try to perform it like this live. Well, that's one point, but then it doesn't really end there. I would hope that the songs would continue to evolve over time.
You're such a diverse group of people. I know that's a cliche, but it's so true. I mean, you're Canadian born, but your mother's from Venezuela. Your father's from England. Tomas and Mercedes are from Cuba. Adam is from Long Island. AJ's from Miami. Chad's from Chicago. How on earth did you all meet? Did you just, you know, crash into each other at the airport?
We all live in Miami, and we're all musicians. So I think even though Miami's a very large city, the music scene is not incredibly large, and there's not an incredibly there's not a lot of venues here, to be honest with you. So, you know, being that we're all fairly active and we're all out there doing different things, I've known Adam the longest, I think, or maybe AJ, because AJ, I was playing in bands in the mid-90s, and AJ was fronting his band at that time, so, you know, we crossed paths at that time. Adam, I probably met him around 96 or 97 when I was playing guitar in another band.
Wait, you're giving away ages now.
We were all in middle school then.
Now I know you're not a political band. I know that you're not trying to make a political statement, but in some way, just by being together, you are. And we're in a point in this country where we're talking about, you know, immigration and who do we want here and what should they do when they get here and all this. And I just wondered, do you ever talk about these things among yourselves?
Oh, we have. I think everybody has their own take on every issue that you could name.
Is that true? No. Are you teasing me?
No. I think there's some things that as far as for Mercedes and Tomas, when it comes to Cuba, they're gonna be highly polarized about certain issues always, and so it's not like we don't talk about it. And then when it comes down to like national politics, well, we'll all run our mouths on what we think, you know, but I wouldn't want to do it for you guys right now.
Does anybody else want to speak on that?
Basically the way we...
Who's that?
This is AJ. Basically the reason we're able to stay together is that we play together. And I think that's a way to look at the larger political issues in the world. If you focus on the positive, you're able to manage and get along with each other.
You know, one of the reasons why we're an instrumental band is that I'm not trying to have a political agenda with anyone. I have my own personal views on things. You know, it took us 3 albums to put out a song with words because it was like it was really something that I had tried to get away from. You know, I had been playing in bands that was, you know, focused on, you know, songwriter type stuff with lyrics and all that, and I've never written a lyric in my life. It was
but
always
why
something.
Why is that? Is it that you think the lyrics hold you back?
No, not at all. It's just not me. It was just something that I really was more into, you know, feeling a strong groove first and then having room to improvise around that second. So the feeling was like, hey, this is an anti-corporate thing. You know, like that was part of the reason why I took the name Spam All Stars. It was something that was like I was thumbing my nose at a corporation by doing that. And whether that's smart to do or not, whether it's legally the way you want to go about things, probably not, because they'll crush you every time. But it's kind of gone way beyond that. It's not something I even really think about now.
Well, what occurred to me, though, is when you start choosing lyrics, you have to choose what language to sing them in.
Yeah, although, I mean, I'd say that, you know, AJ's got a couple tunes he does. They're in English. Tomas, when he sings, he'll either sing in Spanish or Yoruba. Or he'll, you know, some
Make
of it's just,
language.
Yeah, some of it's basically just sort of scatting. I think that was something that happened in a natural way live on a gig. Like the first time Tomas started singing, it wasn't like, oh, okay, let's do a song with lyrics, guys. It was like, oh, somebody just grabbed a mic. It was just kind of like, oh, wow, this works. That was nice. Let's try to do it again.
Well, since you're not big on planning, maybe it's silly to ask what's next, but what's next?
Basically now it's probably time to start thinking about another recording, so it's not a full 3 years till the next one comes out. So
really, I wanted to ask, your schedule seems exhausting.
You know,
something like 200 performances a year. How do you do that and do your laundry?
It's not too bad. This is AJ once again. Uh-huh. Well, we're basically back home every week, yeah. So okay. We get a chance to, you know, take the edge off and go back out a week or two later. So we travel.
I mean, I'm just wondering how you stay creative when part of the essence of what you're doing is something new every day. Because some of the big sort of pop acts, I mean, the whole reason people go is that they want to hear the thing the same way that they heard it on the radio, right? And that is the opposite of what you're doing. And I just wonder how you keep yourselves
fresh. We thrive on the accidental, you know. Something happens and we pick up on it and we, you know, expand on that theme. And there are some things that we do keep and, you know, we take from the recordings that we did. But basically, yeah, the show's different every time.
If we got four shows to do in a week, it is, I will go out of my way to not have to repeat a tune from night to night. So if we can make it through the whole week without repeating any tunes, that's ideal, you know, that way, you know, but it doesn't always work out like that. Sometimes we'll end up having
I hear that one way you stay on top of your game is that you're obsessed with Cuban coffee. Is that true?
It helps. It helps a lot.
And I hear that you bring your coffee machine everywhere you go. Is that true?
Almost every, except when we got to fly. I haven't gotten around the whole flying issue, but I have a...
Okay, is the coffee machine in the studio with you?
Not right. I thought about taking it today when I left the house because I have to go DJ somewhere after
That's
this. Right. But luckily we're in Miami, so there's usually a source
there's
not
a fix
too far.
Down the street.
Yeah,
okay.
You know, but in some places it's actually, you know, it'll save you walking blocks. You just get to your venue and find your dressing room if you have one, or if not, I've set it up right on stage and, you know, pull
sure.
a couple of shots right there, and you know, it sure helps you keep focused.
I'm gonna have to try that in the studio. You think I could get NPR to go for that?
I can recommend a nice machine for you guys.
All right, can you recommend a song for us to go out on?
Well, let's see. I think we'll do a vocal number for you guys. So this one's Tomas will sing for you, and it's called Oración Acere.
Latin Grammy-nominated Spam All-Stars, Andrew Yeomanson, a.k.a. DJ La Spam, Adam Zimmern, A.J. Hill, Chad Bernstein, Mercedes Abal, and Tomas Diaz. They joined us from member station WLRN in Miami. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow. Yeah.